New series today, and it's called Last Words, and we're going to be looking at the last words, the last instructions that Jesus gives to his disciples during his last kind of 24 hours or so of earthly ministry. It's often said that when someone knows that their time is limited, that they're coming to the end of their time, that they get their affairs in order. And you would have experienced that, loved ones, I'm sure, family, friends. You may have even thought about doing it yourself, just getting certain things in order, making sure that things that you want to happen, happen. And most of you will know that my father passed away on Christmas Day, and his funeral was on Friday. And most of you will also know that I haven't had a particularly close relationship with him for a number of reasons, but mainly just because he was absent. When we found out 6 months or so ago that he'd been diagnosed with a lung cancer, which was they couldn't do anything about, and they gave him between 3 and 6 months, both myself, Kate, and my brother have been going to see my father a couple of times a month down in Bognor, and just wanted him to end well, wanted him to die in peace and to be free and to have no regrets and to make sure there was no unforgiveness towards us and him and him and us, and just making sure that it was good. And I'd already put my peace with him many years ago when I first became a Christian. But it's been a special few months as we've been doing that, and we felt that we've come to a good place. On the Friday, he had lots of instructions of what he wanted to do on his funeral. So he chose all the songs that we listened to, and some of the poem, well, 90% of it he did himself. And we had to wear something blue. Everyone had to wear something blue. Now, you obviously understand that, why that is. And men had to wear blue ties instead of black ones and things like that. So, it was his final instructions. And people do that, don't they? I've got some famous people who've done final instructions, literally just on they're on their way out. This is Alexander the Great. These were his final instructions. He said, my first instruction is to have my physician bring my coffin home alone. My second is to scatter the gold, silver, and gems from my treasures along the path to the tomb when you ship my coffin to the grave. And my final instruction is to put my hands outside the coffin. And people said, well, you know, why do you want to do that? And he said, it's very interesting. I want everyone to understand three lessons which I've learned in life. He said, the first is this, that I want my physician to carry my coffin alone so that people realize that a physician cannot save you from dying. I hope people will learn to treasure their lives. My second instruction is to let people know not to be like me in pursuing wealth. For I spent my whole life pursuing wealth, and I wasted much time doing so. And my third wish is to let people understand that I came to this world with empty hands, and I will leave with this world with empty hands. Quite profound. After that, he closed his eyes and stopped breathing. Alexander the Great, that's some quite interesting last words. George Washington, on his deathbed, said, I'm going soon. And this is, he's speaking to his secretary, Tobias Lear. He said, I'm going soon. Have me decently buried, and do not let my body be put into the vault in less than 3 days after I'm dead. Do you understand? Yes, replied the secretary. 'Tis well with me. Then he died. Groucho Marx's brother, better known as Chico, died in 1961, and this is his last instructions to his wife. He said, remember, honey, don't forget what I told you. Put in my coffin a deck of cards, a 6-iron golf club, and a pretty blonde. Slightly different from the others. And that very famous English singer and songwriter, Sid Vicious of the Sex Pistols, said, "Please bury me next to my baby. Bury me in my leather jacket, my jeans, and my motorcycle boots. Thank you and goodbye." Some strange last words indeed. But what about Jesus? What were some of his last words to his disciples and to us? John 13. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel round his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Simon Peter, "you should never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that's why he said not every one of you was clean." When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I've done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Can you imagine what the atmosphere of that at that dinner was like? Can you imagine? It said, Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. And having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. Jesus knows that his time is limited. And he comes and he's going to show them the full extent of his love. He knows that the Father's put all things under his power, and that he's come from God, and that he's returning to God. He's confident of that. And the disciples, there's probably a real mixture of emotions that are going on. They don't really understand that it's that close. It's the final meal that they're going to have together. And he knows that God's given him all power, and that his time is limited, and he's just about to show them something. If you knew that your time was limited on earth, and yet you had unlimited power on earth, what would you have done? If you wanted to show something to somebody that was special, that you wanted to express your love for them, something really incredible, that you wanted them to remember, that you wanted them to do, what would it be? The disciples probably had a mixture of thinking, well, Jesus is going to do something, and they'd seen him do miracles. They'd seen him, you know, turning water into wine, and then, you know, feeding the 5,000 with just a few loaves and fishes, healing so many people, the deaf could hear, the blind could see, the lame could leap with joy, and of course, even raising the dead, that good friend Lazarus. He had done so many amazing miracles that they witnessed. And you'd think on this last minute that actually he would do something even more spectacular just to confirm who he was. And just to say, hey, listen, I want you to remember this. I want you to remember this. I'm going away, but I want you to remember this. So what Jesus does, he gets up. He takes his clothes off. Well, not all of them, but his outer clothes. He ties an ordinary towel around his waist. He gets an ordinary bowl, and he pours ordinary water into it. And then he kneels down at his disciples' feet, and he washes their feet. I would imagine the atmosphere at that time was a mixture of emotions. A mixture of just bewilderment. What are you doing? A mixture of confusion. No one said anything because they were like shocked. And a mixture of kind of like, this is not right. Peter expresses it. No, you're not washing my feet. Why? Because what Jesus was doing was something that was reserved for the lowest of lows of servants. Not even the Jewish servants would have to wash people's feet. Washing feet was just an ordinary, everyday thing that the lowest of the low servants did. It was a smelly job. It was a horrible job. It was a job that was necessary, though. Whether you're in the summer or whether you're in the winter, in the summer, your feet as you walked around would get dirty and dusty and smelly because of the heat. In the winter, there'd be the rain, there'd be the mud, there would be caked in all kinds of stuff, maybe even sewage at times, wherever they're walking. And it was the job of the servant, the Gentile servant, to wash somebody's feet when they came into the house. This was not the job of a Jew. This was certainly not the job of someone who was a rabbi. So the emotions would have been incredibly mixed up. Yet the first thing we see here is that Jesus sets us an example. He sets us an example of what it means to follow him. What it means to be a disciple. What it means to be a Christian. None of these guys deserved it, really. He even knew that one of them was just about to betray him. Yet he still washed his feet. Peter, bless him. We love Peter because he's just all out there, isn't he? But, you know, he's arguing, Jesus, you're not washing my feet. And Jesus said, look, you let me do this. You don't understand it now, but you understand it later. You need to let me wash your feet. We go, all right, then I want my head, I want to have a bath, a shower, full works, jacuzzi, lot, whatever. You know, come on, Jesus, bring it on, I'm all in. And Jesus goes, no, Peter, you missed the point. You're already clean. It's just your feet that need to be washed. And that's a lesson for each of us, isn't it? That actually Jesus, we need to allow Jesus daily to wash our feet. You know, when we come to faith in Christ, we're a new creation. We're saved by grace. Our old life has gone, the new has come, and we're safe in his arms. But as we walk through this life, we get dirty, don't we? The things we say and the things we do which don't honor him, the things we don't say and don't do which don't honor him. And we get dirty and we need regularly to ask for forgiveness and ask the Lord to wash us, to cleanse us, to make sure that we can continue to walk on the journey without rotting away or without smelling in an unpleasant way. And Jesus gives us this example. He gives us this command. Verse 12, he says, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I've done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. No wonder they were shocked. This was some of his last words. He said, look, we've been together 3 years. You're going to forget a lot of what I've said. You're going to even forget a lot of what I've done. But don't you forget this. Do to others as you see me do. Or as he says, you should do as I have done for you. You should do as I have done for you. What does it look like to be a servant? Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2. Qualities of a servant. What kind of servant that Jesus is looking for? These are the qualities. One of the qualities of a servant of Christ is this, that they're others orientated. In this famous passage in Philippians 2, Paul says this, that you should do nothing out of selfish ambition. We were looking at ambition last week, and we were saying that ambition in itself is good. It's just selfish ambition that's wrong. But he said, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Now, those who are servant-hearted are others-orientated. They are aware of those around them and their situation, their circumstances, and their heart is open to that. I've had people say before, what does it mean when it says consider others better than yourselves? Does that mean you belittle yourself? Does that mean that you think you're inferior? No, it doesn't. What it means is, it's the second one, it means that you're secure in who you are and you're humble. Jesus could do what he did because he was secure in who he was. He knew who he was. He knew what he'd come to do and he knew where he was going. He was secure. And he was humble. Said, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. See, Jesus was secure enough to go low. He was secure enough to serve, to stoop low, to wash other people's feet. Even though he was God. It's characterized by a surrendered life. Philippians 12:13 says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. It's a surrendered life. It's to say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. It's the right spirit. Verse 14, Paul says, do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. You know, many of us will serve and we'll do something, but we'll do it in the wrong spirit. There's been times I know I've done it in the wrong spirit. I've been moaning. I've been complaining. And that's not a godly spirit. To be a true servant is to do it in the right spirit. And finally, to be a servant of Christ is to be hardworking. Turn over to Colossians chapter 3, verse 22. Paul says, slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything and do it not only when their eyes are on you and to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. For whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Even when we don't get a big thank you at the end of it, even if we're doing things and no one seems to recognize what we're doing, we need to remember this, that's the Lord we're serving. And we're not doing it because we want the applause of men, or we want others around us to say how wonderful we are. But we're serving for the Lord, even if no one sees what we do. Jesus' last words, his final instructions to his disciples was this. It was, do as I have done for you. We're called to serve. We're called to stoop low. We're called to wash feet. Now, Jesus did that in the context of the day. What would it look like for us today to wash someone's feet? I don't think we're called to physically wash one another's feet, although we might be at the night shelter. Who knows? It's been done before. But what other ways would it look like to serve? We've run out of time. You can discuss that in your small groups. And you can come back to me and tell you what you think a modern equivalent of foot washing is, and what you can do and what we can do as a church. But Jesus' last words to his disciples was, do as I have done for you. And his word for us this morning is the same. It's do as I have done for you. Don't forget it. May we pray. If the band want to come up at the same time, that'd be great. Father, we thank you for your incredible generosity towards us. And you gave us Jesus. You gave us your Son, who is beautiful and has shown us the way in so many ways. And Lord, we thank you. Lord, we pray that as we look at these last words, these last instructions that Jesus gave to his disciples, that we would know that these are important. Not for us just to remember, but for us to put into practice. Lord, help us, we pray, to serve you and to serve one another. In Jesus' name, amen.